I said, one of the best little mini conferences I think I've had in a long time. I don't know, just felt the spirit, and it was really good. And we, Esther and I, look at ourselves as an extension of Bethel Community Baptist Church. When we're out there doing whatever we're doing, we're an extension of you. We're part of you. And so it was good to come back after almost 10 years and give an update this morning. And so, Esther, why don't you come on up? And you didn't see or hear much of Esther yesterday, but I wanted her to share a little bit about maybe our testimonies and our family. Our wives like to talk about family, right? So, Esther, go ahead.
Well, thank you for having us and for all the hospitality that's been shown. We had a good meal at with the pastor and his family yesterday, too, and just appreciate all of you supporting the MAP ministry. And I just wanted to share a little bit about, I guess, how we both grew up in the Amish. We live in Ashland, Ohio. I doubt if most of you would have any idea of where that is at. Can you all hear me okay? All right. And if you know of the bigger cities in Ashland, Cleveland and Columbus, we're like in the middle, 1 hour south or 1 hour north of. So it's we're very blessed to have a little Ashland community. That's we have a Christian mayor, and we just love the little town there. But we grew up close to that town. And we were raised in the Amish, had lived maybe 12 miles west of town. The Amish are not necessarily allowed to live in town, but we are allowed to go to town to shop and stuff. So growing up in the Amish, I always had kind of thought I probably wouldn't be Amish but I didn't know what that looked like, not being Amish, because it's all I knew. But God started working in my heart at a young age, and I read a lot of books. I read testimonies, and I started thinking, I don't think this is what the Amish are as Christians, but I thought we were Christians because we were Amish. And so through the testimony of those reading about people getting saved in books, Grace Livingston Hill was the main author that I remember reading. And she always had a testimony in there. And I praise God for authors that can write fiction and yet put truth in there too. And then later, the Gideons came to our school and passed out the little New Testaments. Before that, the only reading I could do was in German, and I didn't understand German. German is different than Pennsylvania Dutch. We read everything in English. We spoke Pennsylvania Dutch, and then we had the German on the side, which was our spiritual, supposedly a lot more spiritual than any other language, and that's kind of how we were taught. But I didn't really understand it. I could read German, but I didn't have a German dictionary, so I didn't know what the words meant. I just knew how to pronounce out words, like maybe you can in the English language. You can pronounce out the big words, but you don't always know what they mean. Probably knew about 5% of what I read in German. But then I also had people like neighbors and others that shared. There were a lot of seeds planted along the way. But it wasn't until after I turned 18 and left the Amish and attended a church, the church that we go to now, Bethel Baptist Church in Savannah, Ohio. They shared the truth, and I was about 19 years old. And I went forward and asked Christ in my heart that day and just looked for ways to serve the Lord since. But there was a time when we had both left the Amish, and so Joe's dad would continually let us know we were deceived and we needed to repent and come back to the Amish. So we did that for a little bit, We have our testimony in a brochure back there, and Cho also wrote a book about his life growing up and then into how we met and got married. We had an Amish wedding, and then after about 9 months of marriage, we left again. So there was some going back and forth before we knew where the Lord would have us. And after we had been out of the Amish then, when we left and knew the Lord didn't want us to be in the Amish, we served in the church through bus ministry and nursing homes. And then in 2000, God called us into the mission to Amish people. And now we are sending Bible lessons out into their homes and reaching them through the former Amish. And during that life journey, God gave us two children. We have Jonathan and Rachel. And we have three grandchildren and another one coming in March. So Rachel and David are standing over there with the two little ones by my husband. Rachel's our daughter. And then Jonathan is on the other side there by me. And I'm holding little Emma. She's going to be 2 in February. And that's our family. So I will let my husband share a little bit more. It's just a brief overview of who we are and what God has done in our lives and is doing. My husband will share more about the ministry.
All right. Thank you, Esther. I don't know if Esther has really ever been here before. I think when we were here 10 years ago, Esther had a full-time job, and it was a little bit hard for her to go with me. And so I believe this may be the first time you've met her. But we're going to go through about 40 slides. It's going to take us, and what time do we need to be done? 15 after, so I have 30 minutes. And I just kind of give you an overview of the ministry. And like Esther said, in 2000, I got up for the first time in my home church, and I preached out of Romans chapter 10. Brethren, it is my heart's desire for Israel to be saved. I said where it says Israel, for me it's the Amish. Brethren, it is my heart's desire for the Amish to be saved. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And sometimes those lines become very gray when you're working with Amish people. You'd almost think they might be saved, but salvation is something that it's a transformation. It's 1 minute, I don't have the Holy Spirit, and the next minute, the Holy Spirit lives in me. There's a lot of things that happen. We have one gospel track back there called 25 Things That Happen Instantly the Moment That You Are Born Into, Translated Into the Kingdom of God. 25 things, 25 verses that back up. Boom! Happens immediately. And whereas before I knew everything about Jesus, now I knew Jesus. Jesus knew me. I was part of his family. And the same is true for you. In 2000, I wasn't sure what a ministry to Amish would look like, and my pastor told us, he said, don't worry about the details, just surrender. And God worked out the details over the last 25 years, and it's been very exciting. We have about 75 churches that support the ministry, and a lot of individuals and businesses, grant foundations, and I believe we have about 25 on staff right now, and then we have a lot of volunteers that help with the ministry, and God's really doing a work in Amish communities. I like to say this ahead of time. It has never been our goal to pull Amish people out of their culture. Never been my goal to do that. Our focus, our goal, and our vision is to preach the gospel. That is my number one goal. Preach the gospel to every creature. And when they get saved, we're required to disciple them. And so whether they're Amish and drive a horse and buggy, or they leave and put on English clothes and drive a car, it makes no difference in the grand scheme of things. Our job is to disciple them using the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit does a really, really good job at leading them and growing them and maturing them and doing what the Holy Spirit wants to do through them. I know some Amish people that are as Amish looking as they can be, but they are missionaries within their own culture. And it's okay. And so I think sometimes we get a little tripped over some of that stuff. And I wanted to make that clear. Now, in talk a little bit about the structure. We started out in our home church and took up a Sunday school class. And then as we continued to grow, we took up more Sunday school classes. We went out and we built this metal building. It's really just a pole barn structure. We added on the back end of that back in 2013. And that's where last year, over 200,000 mailings went out of that little building. We have a board. We meet about six times a year. And we just met on Thursday night, right before we left to come out here. We have a very godly board made up of various people that just love the ministry and have stood with us and helped us get through some challenges in the last few years in particular. Here's some of the staff that works up at the ministry. Tina had been with me for 19 years, and about 2 years ago, Tina began to talk about retiring, and we were praying and asking God that he would send us somebody else to take on Tina's position. And lo and behold, her own granddaughter, Holly, decided that when she got out of college, she had gone to college for greenhousing, but it wasn't really clicking with her. And so she is the office manager. If you ever get to meet her, she is, I always say she is the backbone of that office. She's just a young girl, but God is using that young girl. Her dad was burned up in a fire. And so she grew up without a dad. And it's just amazing how well actually her grandmother raised her. Here's some of the volunteers that help with the mailings. We have numerous churches that have really gotten behind the ministry and come in and help us fold Bible lessons, tape them, grade them, enter them into the computer. And this was an event that we had where we served them all the barbecue ribs they could eat. We have some partners. Samuel Girard is a young man, 30 years old, had never been married. He was part of the Swiss Amish up in Indiana, southern Indiana. And somebody had given him my cell phone number. And over the course of about 3 to 4 months, we talked on the phone a lot. He was clearly not saved. He's a builder, and he builds multi-million dollar homes. He and his father did this, had a crew, were well known. He owned several properties, but he had this void in his soul, and when he called, he always tells the story. He said, "Joe, just sat there and listened," and that's what I've tried to do. I think as preachers, sometimes we want to give them all the answers right away, and I've tried so hard to be a good listener, because some people just need to pour out. Well, that led to Samuel coming to our house on a Sunday, Saturday night. I woke up on Sunday morning, and we had already taken in several hundred of these runaways and given them a home in our house. And there was Samuel, had two duffel bags. That's all he had. And he had a big, long beard that he took off within a few minutes, and he felt free. And the next 2 days, we sat in my office and we covered all the scriptures that he had questions about, all the scriptures about how Jesus came and died and paid his sin. And on day two, Samuel got saved right there in our office at home. Today, he is a missionary, representative of MAP. He goes all over the country speaking. Yesterday, some of the people that were here actually are trying to get Samuel and his family to come up and share the ministry there. But Samuel is my Timothy. He lived with us for about a year, got married, and moved back to Vive, Indiana, and has a ministry going there now. And then we had a couple others that have served internships. Stephanie is serving as a missionary up in Pennsylvania now. Miranda was from the Netherlands. She's been here twice, served 6 months internships, and is really trying to connect because our forefathers were from her area. And so we're trying to work out the details and trying to get some of the Anabaptists to go back there. She wants to be a guide, a very strong, solid Christian lady, and just been a real blessing. We have a vision. This list used to be longer, but as I got older, I realized that my vision has to be, as one of my board members said, land your plane, Joe, land it and settle for a while. But there's one thing that I really, really want to do before I die, and that is start a Bible school. And when I say that, I envision having young people come and sit through classes, but then also taking them by the hand and doing the ministry. And I'm really passionate about it. But I know it has to be something God puts together. And of course, train more missionaries to go out into the field. Esther and I had taken in so many young people that we finally decided it was a ministry by its own. And so we went and looked at this old schoolhouse, had walked through it several times. I think 6 times we walked through there. And one day, I had my whole board with me, and we were walking through the schoolhouse trying to figure out, can we turn this old building into housing? And that day, one of the members bumped me on the shoulder and said, my mom said, if you build, she will give the first $100,000. And so that's how this came together. We can take in 8 young women at a time, and then we have a third area there where the house parents live. They get the garage. But this apartment opened up in 2018. And since then, we have taken in, I believe, around 25 of these young women. We've taken in a couple mothers. There's a lot of marriage struggles in the Amish communities these days. And there's hardly a month that go by that we don't get a call of a mother wanting to leave. And oftentimes, they have lots of children, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to help them. Lots of needs. We're not really set up for that, but we have taken in a few. And we've seen some get saved. We've seen some baptisms come from that. And our goal is to just help them transition from an Amish culture to the English culture. Many of them come without a driver's license. They don't have, in some cases, they don't have social security numbers. Some cases, they don't even have a birth record. And so while we were talking about helping them, and while they're staying at the housing and don't have a social security number and can't get a job anywhere else, and they just kind of sit there, and sometimes this can go on for months, as longest a couple of years in some cases, we decided that we needed to build a bulk food store. And so I think I have a picture here of the house parents. By the way, our house parents are leaving and moving back to Pennsylvania. And so we are looking for house parents. And I'm very specifically looking for people that are already in ministry, that have a heart for young people to move there and shepherd and pastor these young women that come there. And it's not an easy ministry. I'll add that. It's not easy. It's a very challenging ministry because many of them leave their families behind. many of them come are loaded with medication and just so needy and don't understand salvation at all. And you have to literally like pick them up at the very bottom and grow with them. But as we talked more and more about this bulk food store, we had 20 people give $1.3 million. We went and we built this bulk food store. That's a picture of the inside of it. And there's a picture of what it looks like. So you have our home church, you have the MAP ministry, the main office there, you have the apartments, and then you have the bulk food store all on church property there. You can see where we're at some point down the road, we're raising funds for apartment number two. We're not ready for it, but we're starting to raise funds, and we have about $30,000 to $40,000 in an account. And I do not like going into debt. And so we're just looking ahead. We're believing that God's going to bring more people that we can help, more people that we can share the gospel with. And ministry among the Amish. So here's a picture. This is a recent picture of the United States map, and the purple areas outline the states where Amish people live in. The stars represent where we are sending Bible lessons in and where we're working with Amish people, pretty much in every Amish state. Today, there are over 370,000 Amish people. They are the fastest growing people group in the world. In 15 to 20 years from now, there will be twice as many Amish people. And it's not because people are joining their groups. It's because they have large families and they retain most of their children. Here's some pictures of Amish people that we've helped. We have Amish people, seems like, coming to us all the time. And Amish people that even a month ago would never have stepped inside our home suddenly have something happen that causes them to end up. And we've had preachers sitting in our living rooms. We've had all kinds of different people that are from the Amish. The one that you see circled there, and I forgot, I've been doing this in every service that we go to. That couple right there has seven children. That's Ray and Martha Burkholder. They have seven children. I have to tell you the story. This helps you understand what an Amish person goes through. Ray started reading the Bible, and he started realizing that there were a lot of things in the Bible that were never preached on Sunday morning. And hardly anybody was reading their Bibles at home because it was in German. They didn't understand it. And so Ray began to read and read and read. And one day his eyes just opened up. The Holy Spirit just opened his eyes and he got saved. And he wasn't quite sure how to handle it because there were other people that had gotten saved in the community and they were getting disconnected from their families and excommunicated and just a lot of turmoil. And so Ray kind of kept it to himself. 2 years ago, it was almost 2 years ago, this March, that his wife, Martha, finally said, "Ray, what is the matter with you? You're up all night and you're studying the Bible." He had all these posters laid out on his walls and it was, he just couldn't get enough. You know, he was just so hungry. This was water that was so refreshing and so fulfilling, and he couldn't get enough. So his wife, Martha, got really upset with him and was scared of what might happen. Half of their family had already been married. They had grandchildren. The other half of the children were still at home. But suddenly Martha gets saved. And so now they understood. And the first time they really got up enough nerve was to come to our Step Out of the Boat conference. And that is a picture of them, if you see with the red circle. We had some people come up. Actually, there's some people right around here that are in that picture too. They are Old Order Mennonites. But we brought them all up. We were praying over them. They went back home, and one of their daughters was supposed to get married within 2 months from the conference. And so they were trying to keep it all hush-hush because weddings are a big deal in the Amish community. But it came out right after the wedding that Dad and Mom also have this new belief now. And when it did, it didn't go down well. The married children came in and took the siblings who were at home and sort of kidnapped them and took them. And they did not want Dad and Mom to, confuse and spread their false beliefs. And so they kidnapped them. And Ray and Martha didn't know what to do. So they called the law and they went after the children and they brought the children back. And the older son came back and ripped the shirt off his dad and said, you can't do this. You can't leave us. We know what happens. You're going to go get a car and you're going to get electric put in your car or in your house. And all this stuff came up. And Ray said, we had never talked about that. We had never, wasn't even on the radar that they would get a car. It was just that they had gotten saved and their eyes were opened up. It finally came to the point where the older children came back, talked the younger children into leaving and moving in with them, and Ray and Marcia were living at home by themselves. And so they got a car, and they said, we might as well move on. We're not welcome here. Nobody likes us. So. But I'm in a texting group with Ray. There's never one single day goes by. 7 days a week, he will send out a scripture verse to all of us. Scripture is what this man has held on to. It's become his best friend. He's one of the, he's so fired up for God. He loves the Lord. We have put all the names of their siblings on a little card that I usually hand out, and I ask people pray for these siblings at least one time. Because we're claiming those siblings. We're claiming them. 2 months ago, the youngest one, 13 years old, Adam, called them up, got their number, and said, come and get me. And so now Adam has come over and is with his parents. And I pray for Ray and Marcia. They're such good people, and all they can talk about is the Lord and what the Lord is doing in their lives. Here's some other pictures of people that we've helped. I really don't have the time to talk about these, but these are Amish people that have gotten saved out of Kentucky. We got the one over on the right-hand side. He got saved. His wife hasn't got saved. Some of the boys have left with him. They live in a little trailer at a campground in Ohio, half for months and months, while the wife is being supported by the church. But the thing about this is that I can't think what his name is. It just escaped. Edward. Edward had started a business and turned it into a multi-million dollar wood business. He made porch swings and I don't know what, furniture. And all his workers were Amish. And so the bishop came to Edward and said, you're going to have to sell your business to us because we're going to excommunicate you. And that means that our people can no longer work for you. And so they pretty much pressured Edward to hand this whole business over to them. And Edward did. Edward said, they can have my money. They can have my business, none of that really matters. Only thing that mattered to him was Jesus. And that's what some of these people have done and stood for. Those two bottom ones are both ministers from Pennsylvania. They were at our conference last year. That's up on the stage speaking. They had gotten saved and excommunicated and have quite a ministry going on out there in Pennsylvania. Here's a picture of our Bible club volunteers working. So last year, these are updated numbers. I put these on here right before I came here. we send out 101,000 Bible lessons. From that, we have received 253 salvation decisions. It cost us over $100,000 in postage, printing, and you all were a part of that, very much a part of that. Every dollar you send goes into this ministry. On the way out here, a man called from Bloomfield, Iowa, and he said, I finished my first lesson in the ABC course. And he began to describe what sounded just like salvation. His eyes had been opened. His name was Cletus. And of course, that just happened just on the way out here. It was very exciting and moving. He's a 21-year-old boy. I said, Cletus, how did you get over Bible lessons? I said, do you realize there's 5,000, almost 6,000 of you doing these lessons? And a lot of you are getting saved. Over 253 Amish people have gotten saved and sent us their Bible or their testimony last year in 2022. He was very encouraged. And so, of course, we try to connect them immediately with other former Amish in the Bloomfield area. And by the way, on September the 30th, we're doing a big one-day event right there in Bloomfield, Iowa. We did this event back in May of last year, and we had former Amish come from every direction. And we're thinking that we're going to totally fill this pole barn up with anybody that wants to come. We got all the preachers lined up. We got putting the word out there, but it'll be for all the former Amish, and I, of course, invited Cletus. I said, Cletus, you're going to have to come. By that time, you'll be ready to share your testimony. We do the Amish Voice. It's a publication that goes out to 11,000 Amish people every other month. We have samples of them on the back. You can actually adopt households if you want. If you have households in this area that are not receiving it, you can adopt a whole community, and we will send the Amish Voice to them every other month. It's a very it's a tool that God is using to feed the truth. We upload sermons every month. We upload 4 sermons to the phone lines, and Amish people call in. They listen to the sermons. And then more ministry among the former Amish. We, of course, discipleship is one of the biggest things that we do. We love to disciple. We're always meeting with people. Right now we have a group of 10 people. 2 of them are Amish ladies from the area that hire a taxi driver to come to these Bible studies. And we're going through the ABCs for Christian growth. We're on H, the letter H right now, the Holy Spirit. And I love that stuff. I love sitting around that table. They're hungry. And we just study the Bible. Before that, we studied family. We studied God. We studied assurance of salvation. 2 of them came up and said, we want to get baptized. And so I sit down. I said, well, before you get baptized, I want to hear your testimony. One of them was from Canada, a little girl, Rachel Stutzman from Canada, that we had helped come across the border. We had tried and tried. And she'd come to the border, and they wouldn't let her through. And she'd try again, and they wouldn't let her through. And I said, and Rachel was ready to give up. She had a phone. That's how we communicated. And finally I said, Rachel, where's your faith? I said, we're going to get a whole bunch of people together, and we're going to pray you across that border. Her former Amish boyfriend, Jonathan, was on the other side of the border waiting. Rachel comes up to the border. Everybody's praying, and the border opens up, and Rachel comes through. Now, we've spent over $3,000 working with an attorney in Minneapolis. He's a Christian attorney. And this is what he does. We fill out all the paperwork. We've had government officials come to our location and question one staff separately after another. And we're still waiting for her to be able to become a U.S. citizen. But these are one night I'm sitting there and they want to be baptized. There's 3 of them. And I said, well, I want to hear your testimonies. 2 of the 3 did not have a testimony. Jonathan and Rachel from Canada and her boyfriend, They didn't really know. They had these ideas. And so that night, Rachel and Jonathan got saved. About 2 weeks later, they got baptized in a horse trough out in the parking lot. And while we were baptizing, three more stepped up and got baptized that day. It was really, really cool what happened. This young couple, the one on the left, they'd come to us, Chris and Saloma, beautiful young couple. They had gotten baptized a few months earlier, and I had not really known their testimonies, but they wanted me to do their wedding. And so I said, we need to get together because we meet with our couples. We go through five sessions of premarital counseling. And the first night we went there, I said, I know you, or I think Esther, you were the one that brought it up, that you got baptized, but are you saved? And they weren't saved. They didn't know what it meant to be saved. I said, well, what church baptized you? Well, it was some community church down in Holmes County. Didn't they ask you for your testimony? Well, they didn't even know what a testimony was. That night, the four of us, tears coming down all of our faces. It was unbelievable. The Spirit of God was so powerful in that room. We all knew that that young lady and her boyfriend got saved. If you go to, I was just accidentally, I don't know anything about, what's that? I can't even think what the name is. It's not Facebook, but it's one of the other social media things. I just set up an account, and lo and behold, Saloma is sharing her testimony about the night she got saved. Anyways, we did their wedding, and they had prepared a long table. It was a big, long table for about 25, 30 people. And they invited all of their Amish friends. Nobody came. We had that. We ate that day with that empty table. It was so sad. But not a single one of their families came to that wedding. But on the other hand, we have Eli and Susan. Had never met them, but they wanted to know if I'd do their wedding. And so Esther and I met with them. We went through five sessions. I figured about 15 hours of teaching and preparing for what comes after the wedding day, right? That's the most important part. Well, I think so. As important, right? Get married. That's very important, right? Amen. Get married. Don't live together. Get married. But what comes after that is so important. And we try to love on these young people. And when their wedding day came up, they said, hey, we got this big table prepared for our families, and we're hoping that they will come. And as we drove in, I looked, and there were about 15 Amish people walking around. Now, their wedding took place way back in. There was a big pond and some outbuildings. And I went straight to Susan. I said, Susan, there's a lot of Amish people at your wedding. And I have to tell them the gospel before we do the wedding. And she's like, you can do that. And so 15 minutes, I talked about Ray and Martha. That's what God gave me. Yeah. Martha was a doer. Do, right? But Mary was all about relationships. And it was so fitting. And that day, I just gave the gospel. There was one preacher in that group that day. They were from the Schwarzentruppe Amish, the most conservative groups there are. You can't get lower than the Schwarzentruppers. They were all sitting there. And I said, everybody bow your head. We're going to pray and ask Jesus to save your soul. I didn't have them raise their hands. It didn't matter to me. It mattered to me that I got the gospel in, gave them an invitation. And afterward, the wedding was so beautiful. They stayed around, and it was so wonderful. I don't know where I am. I know. Oh, I'm out of time. So there's just so much. There's literature on the back. Those gospel tracts. Think about this. I'm going to say this, and then I'm done. If you and take this the right way. If I'm a white person and I go to Walmart, I'm going to go to the section where the doll babies have my color skin. If I am a Chinese person, I would probably prefer to go past those little white American dolls and go to the Chinese section and get a Chinese baby, right? That's kind of what came to my mind. And so I started thinking, if I throw out gospel tracts to Amish people and it has no resemblance of them, what's going to draw them inside? What? How do I get them inside the cover? The best way to do it is to put something Amish on the cover. Oh, I can relate with that. I want to see, what do they got? This is about my culture. And so most of those gospel tracts will have an Amish picture on it. And this is what I tell people. We have a price on them, but if I know that you will pass them out, take them all. We'll go back without them. If you pass them out, that's my goal. The gospel is in every one of those. And so there you go. Thank you so much.
Wasn't that encouraging? Amen. I'll tell you, this is God's a saving God, and just to hear the testimonies, I feel like this is like heaven. Just hearing what God has done and is doing, and he's going to continue to do that. He can use us as we give out that gospel message. So thank you so much, and what an encouragement this has been. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for our morning worship service. Dear Father, we just come to you, and we say thank you, Lord, for saving our souls, for opening our eyes, for giving us your Holy Spirit. And Father, we desire to fulfill the word of the King, to go and preach that gospel. Freely we have received, freely may we give. Father, I pray a special blessing upon Joe and Esther here. Father, you would give them your grace in this upcoming year, that they would see your fruit, Lord, that you are producing through them and through the lives of those that they are ministering to. And Father, I pray you would reward them richly for giving of their lives. Father, I pray that you would use this time in our hearts, each and every one of us. Lord, make us fishers of men as you have promised to us. We pray it all in the wonderful name and for his glory, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.